Definitely. All right, so we're going to switch gears. I'm going to record you doing something else for another episode. All right. Hello and welcome to the WIP, the What If podcast that's a work in progress. I am your host, the irrefutable Slim James. We do a roundabout roundup of Marvel's What If series and also talk comic talk. We are the only podcast to ask, what if the Red Skull had kids? Well, you know, old Johann Schmidt. I'm sure there's been, you know, a couple characters. I haven't checked my official handbook of the Marvel Universe, but I'm sure he's had kids somewhere. But, you know, if the Red Skull did have kids, those kids would be nothing but little pieces of Schmidt. But anywho, I bring up the Red Skull because Captain America is the hero du jour, the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, with a movie coming up soon, Captain America, The Winter Soldier. My spoiler-free preview based on what the one trailer I saw at the Super Bowl. Captain America is there. He's a little crusty with S.H.I.E.L.D. He's fought some people in an elevator. Falcon's there. I know Bartok, Georges St. Pierre, the Leaper, he's going to be there, you know, probably be in the movie for like 5 minutes, but we've all heard about it. And I tend to avoid a lot of the in-depth, maybe, you know, subsequent previews, released trailers, stills, a lot of the articles. I avoid those because, let's face it, I know, as a comics fan, I'm probably going to have a gist of what's going on. And spoiler alert, we all know that the good guy's going to win in the end. You're not going to have a detached, you know, melancholy, sour ending where they just stare off at the sunset. So I want to save as much of the surprise in the details as I can. So I often, you know, avoid a lot of the previews. We do know that the Winter Soldier will be in the movie because he's what comes after the colon. Because using two in a movie title is so 1990s. That's like 20th century stuff. So we have Captain America, the Winter Soldier. The Winter Soldier, of course. If you don't know, then I don't know why you'd be listening to a podcast about Marvel's What If. But if you don't know, Bucky, back from the dead. I assume he's still going to be Bucky, back from the dead. But not really dead, maybe, because comics. You know, I am looking forward to Captain America, the Winter Soldier. I liked Captain America, the first one, maybe more the second time around because I was just getting impatient. But all of that'll be, we'll talk about that later. You know, I've also had Man Thing on the brain, and that's not a Freudian slip. It's a swamp creature. Man Thing and Captain America are actually sort of inextricably linked, and Man Thing may be a pivotal part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe in the future. I've got a theory, and it'll be coming up soon. I also have giant-sized Man-Thing on the brain because the What If podcast is now partnering with a website named after him. It's giantsizedcomicthings.com. That's right, all of our updates will be posted there. We're still being hosted through the slimjames.com, but we're sort of being promoted on there as well. So check out giantsizedcomicthings.com. But in what other ways are Captain America and Man-Thing linked? Well, one way just so happens to be What If Volume 1, Number 26, titled What If Captain America Had Been Elected President? So, first you're asking, wait, but that was a possibility? It's not like, you know, what if Superman were mayor, or what if Batman were your teacher? But our cover has Captain America being sworn in front of a dour-looking Ron Reagan. I think George H.W. Bush is in the background. Maybe Gerald Ford sneaking up there. And the Fantastic Four with Ben Grimm with his crusty orange face. And Nick Fury, the white one. Overall, I think it's a pretty cool cover in that, you know, it's different than what you see for most comic book covers. He's not, you know, striking an action pose. It's relevant to the title, so there it is. So we begin with the Watcher with a giant egghead introducing our story based off the events of Captain America number 250. Captain America receives an invitation from the New Populist Party to be their nominee. A party of the people, I suppose. In sane reality, he goes, no, that's probably not going to be a good idea. But of course, in this what-if reality, he accepts. And so our next page is, you know, some campaign montage, including a crowd going, yay! And Captain America, with all the humility of an American, says, I call myself a symbol of America, and I can make Americans proud of themselves, proud of their country. How can I deny them that? Well, thank you for taking the burden to lead us, you great, great man. The Thing says he's voting for Winghead, and if you don't like it, you're a Yancey Streeter. That's some pretty harsh criticism, you know, considering he's an orange, crusty rock creature who's, you know, not even human. But I digress. And Spider-Man pops in to basically piss J. Jonah Jameson off and say, I need my Washington correspondent on the horn. Just to remind you, newspapers were still a thing back in those days. Captain America chooses a running mate, Andrew Jackson Hawk, which falls in a long tradition of black guys being named after presidents with other things, most notably George Washington Bridge, who was, you know, probably the worst X-Men figure that was hanging up on the rack in Bradley's. Then it's not 100% clear throughout this, because, you know, we see Captain America in his costume at rallies and stuff, but he says he'll only unmask when he wins. Extortion. Are you really going to vote for a president sight unseen? What if he's a ginger? After some more campaigning, including another shot of Ronald Reagan, who rightly asks, but should we elect to the highest office in the land a man whose face we have never seen? You know, that is a great question. So then after more campaigning, Captain America wins. And it's not a landslide victory by any means. It's split pretty well. So, you know, obviously Captain America is going to come into a divided country. He doesn't have a mandate to lead the people. It's, you know, some people liked him. So California, liberals. So, you know, the heartland of America, they're left, you know, hanging out to dry. So because, you know, he's Captain America and he's president, he immediately almost gets sniped. But luckily his Captain America sense was tingling and he ducked. So because this president is a certified superhero, there's a quote in the book saying, just seeing him makes me feel safer. This parlays into a one-page sort of splash montage of America entering a new golden age, including a station that beams potent rays of the source of all life to huge receiving dishes that catch those rays and store them, an inexhaustible account of power on which America can draw. USA. USA, USA. Don't have to worry about, you know, foreign oil dependency. So I guess Captain America's got it right in there. But solar energy? Because Captain America is still president of the United States, he still has to actually deal with real threats to the world abroad, not just the Red Skull and men in green jumpsuits with big orange H's on them. So he sort of has his bluff called, and he has to intervene in a civil war in some place called San Pedro. Might be a real country. Don't feel like checking an atlas right now. Someone rightly takes Cap to task for what could be another Vietnam police action, where it's not really our war to fight, but hey, America, we'll help. Please don't. So President Rogers, and unfortunately he's not referred to as President America after he's elected. That would be amazing. He flies to San Pedro, only to find that their president is actually the Red Skull. That's right, he can't escape superherodom. There are no real problems for Captain America. It's just the Red Skull. He is the master of lifelike latex masks. I think even more so than the Chameleon. And he manages to capture Captain America. Red Skull plots to use the aforementioned giant solar space ray energy catching satellites, whatever you want to call them, giant reflectors, and basically cook Washington, D.C. like an ant in a magnifying glass, or maybe, you know, whatever you put in one of those tinfoil ovens you can make if you're like 10 and it's summer. So Captain America, you know, decides that now is the time to start kicking ass, so he escapes his bondage by slinging some shield. And then he overrides Red Skull's override of the solar-powered space things, and somehow this is explained that it uses the Red Skull's own signal in his San Pedro mansion as a sort of homing beacon, and the Red Skull's palace in San Pedro blows up from sun rays, and Cap heroically sacrifices himself in the struggle with the Red Skull. And we close on his star-studded funeral. All the heroes are there. in their full regalia. So guys with secret identities like Daredevil, Spider-Man, you know, I get why they're in costume. They don't, because if just Peter Parker shows up, it's A, who are you? Or B, why is some pissant little photographer here? No pictures. Respect the dead. But speaking of respect the dead, the Fantastic Four are in their costumes, including the Thing in his little blue undies. Show some respect. A man has died. You guys don't have secret identities. Where are your suits? So in the first volume of What Ifs, they often did split stories that were more half and half, not even like a backup story. And this is one of those instances. So because it's a half an issue, things are moving along very quick. And the solar panel powered thing is a little contrived and sort of, you know, super villainous spacey, which is, might work if it's a straight up comic book. But we're like also presented with this more down to earth presidential story. So maybe it's a yin to yang, but it feels a little disjointed, a little contrived. Because you have to explain what these giant space sun things are before they're used to kill Captain America. It's probably for the best it was short, because I don't know that politics and a presidential campaign makes for a good comic book. We close on a Bible quote, which is bizarre. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. I don't know. It's really weird because, you know, Captain America hangs out with a god, lowercase g, in Thor, and has seen things beyond the wildest imagination of any scientist or philosopher. He has seen the secrets of the universe. But, you know, does he still believe in God, big G? Is he still a good, true American? It's always a bizarre thing to think about. Captain America doesn't come across as especially conservative, but he's inherently kind of conservative. He just fights for what's right. That's always that weird nebulous thing. He just does the right thing, even if there's no explanation as to what the right thing actually means. Maybe I'm overthinking this. In fact, I know I am. So, as I've alluded to, there's a connection between Captain America and Man-Thing in this issue. And that's because the second story in this split what-if is, what if the Man-Thing had regained Ted Salas's brain? The Man-Thing is Ted Salas, a scientist who injects himself with a homebrewed super soldier serum because he's on the run, crashes into a swamp, and becomes a swamp creature. And this swamp creature is also mute and can also burn things that feel fear. He's sort of unintelligent and only reacts to the emotions of people around him. It's very, I'll say this about it, it probably makes a good horror comic book, but in terms of maybe, you know, month to month, doesn't make for the best ongoing storyline. So the Watcher, again, our captain of exposition, he recounts the events of Man-Thing number one. No, not giant-sized Man-Thing number one. Not the cool-looking one either. The second series. That one. The events of Man-Thing number one, in which his friend, Dr. Carl Oheimer, works to coagulate the brain cells of Man-Thing and sort of give him his brain back. But oh no, federal agents interfere and shoot him sort of instinctively without asking what he's doing. Shoot first, ask questions later. In this what-if reality, he isn't killed, and the federal agents take his word for it. So they take him to a holding facility, and over the course of months and weeks, Dr. Carl Oheimer works to recombobulate Man-Thing's brain cells into his body. The way he's describing it, it's sort of like it's spread out over his head and he doesn't actually have a brain. He's trying to bring it back. In this reality, he's allowed to do so, and Man-Thing's still mute, but he can think, and Man-Thing's thoughts are very can be a little mischievous. Because Dr. Oheimer says, we'll turn you into a man again. And Man-Thing is thinking, will we? I have other plans, Dr. Oheimer, and they involve nothing so mundane. Which sounds a little mischievous for a guy who's supposed to be this sort of gentle swamp creature. So the government is funding this not because they feel bad for Man-Thing, but because they want that homebrewed super soldier serum. And so they take samples from the Man-Thing and devise a purple super soldier serum. But it needs magic swamp juice to work. Of course, the swamp where Man-Thing crashed, apparently. So they burn Man-Thing's holding facility down to the ground, and then, in a bit of short-sightedness, just give Dr. Oheimer a ticket back to Wisconsin. Like, you're done. scat. No one's going to believe what you say, apparently. Like, you think they just shoot him because they already burned Man-Thing to death. But they just give him a plane ticket and he's on his way. But as it turns out, apparently one of the first things Dr. Oheimer and Man-Thing went over when he had his brain back was fire safety, because they planned routes out of the lab in case of fire. So there it is. Safety first, kids. So the government agents go back to the swamp and are experimenting with super soldier serum, maybe. And for some reason, they're doing experiments on a crocodile, too. Or maybe an alligator. I didn't get a good look at the pointiness of his snout. Man-Thing busts in on them experimenting with this alligator crocodile. And in the melee, one of them, the head government agent, throws a syringe of super soldier serum, like a dart, at Man-Thing. I don't know what his plan was. And he misses and it hits the alligator. And so we get Super Swamp Gator. Oh my god. So our climatic battle is Man-Thing fighting Super Swamp Gator. And because Man-Thing now has Ted Salas's brain, he's cognizant enough to know fear and is kind of afraid of this giant fuzzy alligator swamp creature. And he gets his own fire touch used against him, and he burns to ashes. Oh man, the irony. Overall, I thought this was, you know, another fun little half a story. It's nice to see Man-Thing actually with some inner monologue rather than just working through a narrator. It's a short little thing that tells a story, you know, start to finish. You know, because it's a what if, we can kill off a character lickety-split, so we end with Man-Thing's death. He regains his intellect only to have it ironically be his undoing, which you know, is a nice little twist. So Man-Thing and Captain America, two peas in a pod. I've got a bit of a conspiracy theory about Man-Thing as it relates to Captain America and the Avengers movies. So my sometimes recording partner Andrew the Giant and I discussed Man-Thing and Captain America recently, so let's throw to that. So I'm joined in studio once again by my partner in crime, Andrew the Giant.
Hello again.
And we'll be talking about Man-Thing and Captain America. Quite the combination.
Well, they go hand in hand.
Exactly. I watched the Man-Thing movie.
You watched it?
Yes.
The whole thing?
Yes.
I have not been able to.
It's terrible.
I believe you.
Yeah. So it's your boring, typical sort of monster slasher movie. He's lurking around.
Do they even allude to the fact that it's based on do they even throw up the Marvel sign?
Yeah.
In the beginning?
Yeah. But it
doesn't seem like a comic book movie.
No, in fact, that's sort of my conclusion about the whole thing. It's not a comic book movie, and it's not scary for being a horror movie. It's just very bland. Rather than being part of the super soldier serum or whatever, Man-Thing is now an ancient Indian legend, and he's protecting a swamp from drillers. So Ted Salas,
Fern Gully.
Yeah, exactly. Ted Salas is an Indian medicine man, and he's killed and sort of either triggers Man-Thing to start existing or his corpse becomes Man-Thing. I really wasn't paying attention a lot. But he's supposed to be a misunderstood monster, but he's way more monstrous than in the comic books, because in the very first scene, a girl has her bare breasts covered in blood.
Oh.
But don't worry, because it has sci-fi channel-worthy special effects. And stereotypical...
Dino Croc and Sharknado.
Exactly. Stereotypical characters. There's pissed-off local cops, a slick businessman, mysterious Indian.
Promiscuous teens.
Yes, who's got the blood under tits.
Of course.
And one monster hunting kook, like like Ralph in Friday the 13th.
Ralph.
Yeah. Dirty swamp people who were killed by a dirty swamp monster.
Cause, dirty swamp people.
Exactly.
Even people that live there?
Yes.
Are they in a boat?
Yes.
Oh, called it. Never seen it.
But I know what you're saying. What if it was more like the comics? It'd still be boring.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the... I mean... Again, back to the thing when Marvel was selling their characters to different studios. I mean, that might have been all they could afford, I guess.
Well,
even then, even some other lower tier heroes are much more well known than Man-Thing, and that's the only one they got.
But, I'm thinking their strategy was, we're not going to make a superhero movie. We're going to make a horror movie. the Marvel logo will bring him in. But guess what? They made it terrible, so their plan backfired by not making anything good. In the comics, Dr. Tedsaus was creating a new super soldier serum, and he was betrayed by his wife, so he did the only logical thing. He injected the unproven serum into himself and crashed into a swamp.
For what reason did he inject himself?
Well, he didn't want the serum falling into the wrong hands because his wife betrayed him.
She's going to get that AIM. In the divorce.
Yeah, the AIM.
She's going to get the serum in the divorce.
Yeah, exactly.
So the prenup.
Exactly. So he crashed
and
into
the super soldier serum.
Crashed. He crashed in the swamp and became Man-Thing. A mute, barely conscious swamp creature.
So had he crashed somewhere else, he might have
been
a little better.
Dirt thing.
Yeah.
Or chicken wing thing. And Man-Thing's superpower appears to be just empathy. Because when you're scared, he freaks out. When you're happy, he's okay. He's kind of like a dog in like a rainstorm. And apparently he's...
Lower like bees. If you don't bother them, they won't bother you.
Exactly. He's a bumblebee. But apparently he also has a burning fear touch. Those who know fear burn at the touch of the Man-Thing, or however it goes. I'm not sure if this is mystic fire, like Ghost Rider, or actual fire. But in the comics, he just always wanders around and is just following people silently.
Creeping.
Yeah, sometimes feeling what they feel. Until like the end where he's dramatically revealed. And
then he takes off his latex suit.
And he proceeds to be misunderstood. He misunderstands at people. And it might make for like a decent one-off, you know, maybe a good horror novel, this swamp creature. But as an ongoing thing, it's very boring. I've read like 3 or 4. They're all the same, and it's not anything I'm interested in.
No.
And so even if they made a movie about that, it'd be a swamp creature that doesn't kill people. It'd be boring.
Yeah, he just follows people around. He just watches people.
Exactly. So there's a reason why he's remaining firmly planted on the very edge of the comic relevancy.
But yeah, see, that doesn't even come up in terrible comic book movie discussions. People don't even know about this movie.
Exactly. Well, because
Daredevil is always people. Daredevil and Green Lantern are people's top picks for terrible.
This might be worse.
Yeah, people don't even know.
Exactly.
Get the word out there.
Because it was supposed to be released in theaters. And then they kept slashing the budget so that the man... Because they wouldn't have made the script better, but the Man-Thing kept looking worse and worse. It was supposed to be CGI, and they're like, we don't have the money for it. Build a physical suit.
When was it made?
2005, I think. So there's like a little CGI, but it's just awful. And so it got released on Sci-Fi. So it's the Sci-Fi original movie of Marvel.
Yeah, that's...
But... Will Man-Thing make an appearance in the next phase of Marvel movies? You might think no, but follow me on this. An article I read online, a site called Next Movie, points out that Iron Man 3 is like steeped in Man-Thing references. So the Extremis thing,
yeah.
That rumor that was like based on like plant structures, they made some reference to it like being found in nature or something.
Uh-huh.
Or, yeah, they were, like, testing it on plants or something. So that sort of plays into a living swamp creature. And also, much more directly, the female agent Iron Man battles is apparently, according to this article, I forgot, named Ellen Brandt, which also apparently, because I didn't bother to check, is Man-Thing's wife in the comic books.
Oh.
And she has a scar on her face, which apparently Man-Thing gave to her. Probably from the fear-burning touch.
Yes.
Yeah. And she betrays him to AIM. AIM, Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So signs are pointing to some...
So he's coming.
Yeah, some Man-Thing involvement. So it would make sense for my man Giant-Sized Man-Thing to pop up.
Giant-Sized Man-Thing.
Yes. Yeah. Floppy Man-Thing. He's lame enough to be featured on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You
definitely.
Know?
Exactly. Definitely.
Yeah, so he can be Giant-Sized Man-Thing, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And that name is just terrible.
What, Man-Thing?
Man-Thing.
Yeah. In the movie, they're like, that's the thing! That's the Man-Thing! They want to call him Swamp-Thing, but that already exists.
Yeah, Man-Thing is just, that's a terrible name.
Yeah,
so, something better.
But this whole, you know, developing Super Soldier Serum that's part of Man-Thing's origin would actually play into something I think would be a good plot line for some of the upcoming Marvel movies, for like Captain America 3 or something. Basically, they want to make new super soldiers, and Captain America gets all bent about it, so we end up with a movie U.S. agent, huh? Think about that. Maybe played by James Vanderbeek?
Jack Flag, I mean?
No. He's with his sonic boombox.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got Jubilee trapped in a boombox, so... But, I mean, think about it. Signs are going to be pointed to this. I'm going to blow your mind with my conspiracy theories.
Do it.
So, the whole... remember in Avengers when they made weapons out of the Tesseract? S.H.I.E.L.D. made weapons to shoot blue energy?
Yes.
Captain America was all like, what are you doing? I took this from the Nazis on purpose.
Yeah.
I almost died.
A Hydra.
Yeah, exactly. So you shouldn't be making this. So he disagrees with S.H.I.E.L.D.'s direction sometimes when they're making secret weapons. Which also then plays up what's coming up in sort of the Winter Soldier. He seems to be at odds with S.H.I.E.L.D. a lot. I think that's part of the theme that's going to be part of that.
I have that graphic novel.
Yeah.
Well, read it again before.
I think there's some more elements that are aside from the Winter Soldier that are going to be
I've read it. It's been a while since I've read it, but it doesn't seem familiar.
Yeah.
Watching the trailer.
So, and like on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the continued existence of the extremis powered guys, like Deathlok.
Yes.
And the other guys showed up, right? And they have their super strength.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
That's when they...
The centipede? No, millipede.
Yeah, centipede.
Yeah. Wasn't that sort of their jam?
But yeah, there was a bunch of... Yeah, it was a centipede thing that injected them with serum all the time.
So, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. might be like, well, we need our own super soldiers, so they want to develop their own. And Cap's like, no, don't, because you guys, I'm supposed to be the only one. Or whatever makes him all bent about that in the comic books. He's like always like, no, you guys, you shouldn't. Like a child
finding out that your parents are, you're going to have another baby brother.
Oh, man. And also, Hulk's origin in the Avengers Marvel universe was based in trying to find a secret to a super soldier serum substitute.
How many people know about this super serum?
Well,
who was this guy? Who was
Captain America? Works for the government, his knowledge is not.
Who was Man Thing prior to being Man Thing? Was his occupation?
He was a doctor. I'm not sure if he was working.
How did he even know about this super serum to try
to? He reads the paper. He knows Captain America.
Do they announce that he was injected?
I don't know.
I'm just asking.
I didn't go.
That part doesn't seem like something that they would announce about Captain America.
I don't know.
But
in this Marvel cinematic universe, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s trying to develop a new super soldier, so he could be Ted Salas, Doctor of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes.
And gets thrown in a swamp, and now he's Man Thing, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. All giant sized.
He's gotta wear a leather suit.
So that's my thoughts of what could happen with the Captain America movies in the future and how it relates to Man-Thing, because that's what everyone wants to know.
Yes.
But, I was
wondering how they were going to tie together.
So how are you... What are your thoughts on the Captain America movies and Captain America in the movies?
I enjoy the Captain America movies. I think this generation of movies, especially with Joss Whedon and all the Iron Mans, and with the special effects in those, it's a good time to be making movies like that.
Yes, I will say that kids these days, they don't know how bad that a superhero movie could be.
Yes,
because even the X-Men, for being like lame, it's an actual movie, like the Captain America movie from 1990.
Yes.
With the fake out Heil Hitler. Oh, too quick, Heil Hitler, and then I'm going to shoot you. That's my favorite part, but they're awful. They don't even qualify as movies. They're like the direct-to-DVD
in that Fantastic Four one that never even got released because it was so bad.
Yeah, they made a movie about how that movie was never released. Yeah. It's so awful. But yeah, it's definitely, even like the worst superhero movies now are better than the good, air quotes, yeah, ones back then.
Since, like...
the first X-Men and, like, Spider-Man.
I wasn't a big fan of those Spider-Mans.
They were, well, what I'm saying is like, even though that you might not like all of it, it's still, on the whole,
yes,
a watchable movie.
But all the recent ones are definitely a step above the newer, the Amazing Spider-Mans.
Yes.
And even the newer X-Men.
Yeah. Yeah, when it comes to Captain America movies, I thought I liked the first one better the second time I watched it. Because when we were watching it in the theaters, I was impatient. He was just skinny Steve Rogers all the time. I'm like, hurry up, be Captain America already. We know what's happening. It's not called Steve Rogers Be Skinny. It's called Captain America.
Steve Rogers wants to fight.
Exactly. Hey, guys, come in.
Let me at him.
Exactly. But after I watched it the second time and learned to slow my roll, not bad. And the new one, Winter Soldier, is in there. That's Bucky revived, right? Yes. He was frozen the entire time or something.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, guys, sorry. But if you're watching or if you're listening to a podcast about What If comic books, you probably are familiar enough with comics to know what's coming.
If not, rewind.
Shh.
Rewind about a minute and then stop.
Besides, it could be different in the movie. It could just be some guy.
Yeah.
And then Falcon's there with his wingsuit. He's you know, with the next generation of Hawkeye, where he's like some agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. they give ridiculous weapons to, and yeah, you're wondering, why does he get the wingsuit? Nobody else does. It's like, why does Hawkeye get the bow and arrow? Nobody else does.
You give a wingsuit to like Black Widow. She's already there.
Yeah.
Just
or
give it to her.
Hawkeye.
Now she can fly.
Hawkeye, well, no, wingsuit. No. Hawk wing.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hawkeye with wings.
Can we have Hawkeye ride Falcon?
Yes. So piggyback.
Exactly.
Shooting arrows.
Yeah, so I'm just waiting for the ostrich to show up.
The ostrich.
He's very good at running. That's Quicksilver. He's injected, yeah, with radioactive ostrich DNA.
This isn't the... Quicksilver was in one of the other movies. He in Wolverine Origins. When Wolverine goes in to save the people,
mm-hmm,
that are captured.
Uh-huh.
Like Emma Frost, uh-huh, is there. Quicksilver is in one of those cages.
Oh yeah.
Chained up with like elastic. And he's just running around in the little thing. Or bouncing around.
Yeah, he looks terrible for
he's been in a movie before, so this isn't his first appearance.
So, oh my god.
But yes, he looks...
You should have got your Quicksilver stock, because it's soaring right now.
Yeah.
Buy up that... Well, the first appearance is from Silver Age anyway, so it's going to be worth money. But I digress. So, in conclusion, I don't have an end to this.
In conclusion, the end.
Yeah. Man-Thing, Captain America, team up? I don't think so. So we're back, and as I alluded to earlier, the plot of Iron Man 3 is apparently steeped in some of the Man-Thing mythos. The Extremis has a burning component. Maybe Man-Thing can burn things that know fear. Maybe this shows up as some sort of mutated side effect of this burning, that they could burn people with, you know, higher adrenaline levels at their touch because of fear. The Extremis thing itself... S.H.I.E.L.D. has a history of secret weaponry, the blue thing on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that they're getting the healing potion from, the Tesseract or Cosmic Cube based weapons in the first Avengers. So, you know, this whole Extremis thing, my conspiracy theory is that S.H.I.E.L.D. is actually trying to create new super soldiers, or the serum, so that they can have their own and not be relying on Captain America. So Captain America looks to be maybe a little bit cross with S.H.I.E.L.D. in the upcoming Winter Soldier movie. So, you know, this could be sort of the dividing line between them somewhere down the line.
I mean, U.S. Agent being introduced into a Captain America movie could be something similar to the War Machine Iron Patriot, in that, you know, the people who are merchandising this, you see, you double your main character and you get more toys and it's cool looking. So what's better than Captain America? Two Captain Americas. So this could lead to a strained relationship with S.H.I.E.L.D. because Captain America never wants there to be another super soldier for some reason. I guess he just feels that he's the only one that can, you know, handle the power. Further playing into this whole replacement Captain America is something I read on Reddit through a link. The guy who plays Bucky has a 9-picture deal with Marvel, which seems insane. The fact that there would even be 9 Marvel comic book movies would just blow my mind as a kid. So we could get a new Bucky cap for the future with his, you know, his pointy and the black pants. You know, Captain America leaves, we have a new Bucky cap. And then they're also trying to replicate the Super Soldier Serum, which could play into this whole Extremis thing, which is could be related to Man-Thing. And bringing Man-Thing back into the fold, Loki in the, you know, the Thor movies has spoken of, you know, back doors between realms. Who guards a nexus between realities that's tucked hidden away in a swamp? Oh yeah, that's right, the Man-Thing. So, you know, he could play a guardian of this nexus reality that could, you know, play into future Avengers movies, Thor movies, maybe Guardians of the Galaxy movies if they need to, you know, do some quick space travel. Man-Thing slash Dr. Tetsas would be a great flunky character on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. The fact that he would be working on a super soldier replacement would play into possible future plot threads for Captain America and or Avengers movies. If you have like a split and Captain America or Chris Evans is done being Captain America and, you know, needs to go make not another teen movie too. All of this is just swirling together. I'm telling you, the Man-Thing, he's going to be big business in like 2016. It's going to be amazing. Or not. But you know, another way Chris Evans, the regular Captain America, could bow out to Bucky is to get shot in the head. As we all know, that happened in the comics. He got shot, but apparently it caused him to time travel to 1602. I'm not quite sure. I saw it alluded to. I didn't bother to research. I have the 1602 books, which I might review as sort of a set for a future bonus episode, because that's, you know, its own wacky alternate universe. So in regular continuity, Captain America gets shot in the head. But in this What If Fallen Sun one-shot from 2009, we ask, what if Iron Man were shot instead? So our cover sort of just tells the story right away, Captain America holding a dead Iron Man. And I'll say right off the back, the internal art's good, nice, moody looking, lots of shadows, maybe a bit sepia toned all over the place, but you know, it's still pretty good. Here, the story is that Bill Foster, aka Black Goliath's nephew, Tom Foster, is pissed Big Black Goliath was killed. So he giant-sized punches Tony Stark to death, which is a tremendous way to die, and really shows how awesome a character like your Goliaths or your giant men's or your, what else is he called? Black Goliath. Atlas, you know, all those guys that can get super huge, and then they just, you know, start pounding people into hamburger, but I guess that'd be too easy. So in killing Tony Stark, Tom Foster goes all Blue Monday on him and asks him, tell me, how does it feel, as he's punching him to death. So that's just tremendous, just dropping those hits as he's dropping hits. Boom! So the fallout from Iron Man's death is presented as the stages of grief. War Machine is training some Avengers Initiative flunkies and talks tough to Henry Gyrich, you know, buzztop, glasses man. And he's like, you think you're a government bureaucrat, but I'm running this joint. And so, you know, War Machine tries to do a little bit closer to what's right rather than let mutie-hating government bureaucrats take over everything. Our new Avengers, Power Man, Iron Fist, Spider-Man, Wolverine, they get battled on by some government-issued heroes, including Ms. Marvel. And in the battle, Ms. Marvel flips out at some flippant comment by Luke Cage about Iron Man and blasts him, and like blasts him so hard all his hair and his clothes burn off. And so he's just left there, you know, going Natalie Imbruglia, lying naked on the floor. But this causes Luke Cage to say something pointedly. Funny things about weapons, baby. Just because they registered don't make them any less dangerous. And I'm not putting on a wacky jive talk. They wrote him, you know, about baby and just because. Spelled C-U-Z. So there you go. Bring it. So that's a good point. Stark Industries gets sold in Iron Man or in Tony Stark's absence. Pepper Potts also goes all Natalie Imbruglia on us, being torn, lying naked on the floor, sad about Tony's death, even though he barely cared about her. So we close on his funeral, including a cap salute as Iron Man's body is being launched into space, in case you forgot he was an eccentric billionaire. And our very last shot is of the looming Skrull invasion. So I'd say that overall this is worth a read. It's simple, it hits the right notes, and in terms of the fallout to Iron Man's death, you know, you cover your bases. It's just, you know, brief, sort of touch upon it. You don't have to have any sort of overly complicated plot twists and a lot of exposition. It's just sort of, it's probably not what would have happened because, you know, comics are wackier than this, but it's a nice tale about what might happen if Iron Man were killed. And like I said, I like the moody, shadowy art, and overall, I'd give it a recommend. So in conclusion, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, coming out soon. I'm excited to see it, and I hope it's as good as I think it'll be. So in closing, I will remind you to follow us on Twitter at TheSlimJames, or at Giant_Size, TheSlimJames.com, GiantSizeComicThings.com. The WIP What If Podcast is on iTunes, on Stitcher, on YouTube, and on Vimeo. So go out there and find us. And remember, don't spend the rest of your life asking, what if?